Hello and welcome to The Loudspeaker, your definitive guide on how to scale your startup.
This first tip for every fintech startup is,
what are the media and press saying about us? How are we being perceived by these people?
PR stunts are any activities that allow you to engage with the audience.
I don't agree with the fact that all publicity is good publicity.
Here is where we talk to communications professionals from all around the world to let you know what are the best practices and cool ideas that you can implement for your startups. Let's kick off the show, and can you tell our listeners who you are and a little bit about your background in marketing and social media?
Yeah, my name is Eugene Kappen. I'm a social media futurist. That means I get on stages and I talk about the life cycle of certain aspects of the social media world, as well as talk about how we're going to get to the metaverse, which is the eventual replacement of the internet. So I'm always talking about new ways of thinking, new programs that are coming out, and how we really have to shift our ideal of what it means to partake in social media as a whole. In terms of my background, I got a bachelor's degree in liberal arts with an emphasis in YouTube studies. It was something I didn't think was possible until I got to Evergreen State. I was like, that's what I want to do. After that, I worked at a YouTube consulting agency called Press Play, where I was the art director. When I discovered virtual reality, I quit to go pursue that full time. And about 2 years later, I sold my first in virtual reality talk show. And it was actually the first in virtual reality talk show to ever be ordered as if it was a TV show. I got to produce it, write it, and host it with my partner, Topher Welsh, who is also my roommate and let my dog out earlier, which is great. And yeah, it's just been such a wild ride. And now I'm kind of doing this podcast tour, and I'm really happy that you reached out, Samuel.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I'm super happy to have you on, because it seems that the stuff you're working on is so cutting edge. It's almost like hard to understand. So I'm glad to have you here so that we can just like chat about it. And I have to go ahead.
Yeah, I'll go ahead. And anytime I say something that you don't get, that's perfectly normal. That happens a lot in my industry, unless you're like, you know, specifically working in virtual reality. If there's anything you want me to break down or go into, you know, deeper meanings or deeper steps about, just let me know and I'll be more than happy to do it.
Awesome. Yes, thank you. Because as a futurist, I can imagine you're part of the small few which are ahead of the rest. But yeah, so I'm glad to have you on, because I have to admit that this approach we're going to talk about today, A/B testing with social media, it's something which I am completely new to. One, I'm not a social media expert, which is why I'm glad I've got you here. And two, A/B testing is something that we do for content here at Publicize, and just generally, I know it's a very popular practice for marketing, but for me personally, it's not something that I've experienced in. So today we're going to be talking about two things which I don't have a lot of experience in. However, I knew that having you on would be a great opportunity to understand this better, because you're such a social media don that like I knew that I could throw this subject at you and you would you'd come up with something interesting. So my first question to you is about hashtags. How can hashtags be A/B tested with social media posts?
So there is a plugin that I like to use for my own YouTube videos when I'm creating things and trying to get the word out. It's a plugin called TubeBuddy. It has a legendary license that you can get for, I don't know, like $25 a month, I think. Okay. But anyway, it has this wonderful feature where you can A/B test your videos on two different fronts. One, you can A/B test the name of your video and the thumbnail, or you can do an entire set of hashtags. And the great thing is it basically runs these tests for about 14 days. It's a very quick process to set up. And once you do, you can basically sit down and go, okay, hashtags, you know, set A did better than set B, so I'm gonna stick with A. And the headline and the title and the thumbnail for version B did way better than version A, so I'm going to go with B. And then once you've kind of identified maybe why those things happened, you can actually repeat the process and trying to replicate a higher level of success.
Okay. I'd be interested to know as well, like, what does this work for images as well, or is it just for videos?
Oh, it definitely works for, anything. If you're doing marketing for, say, like Facebook, you can run, you know, 30 different types of ads or 30 different images, 30 different, you know, messaging pieces, your description that goes with each ad can be a little bit different. And then from there, you can go, okay, out of these 30 that we spent maybe $20, $30, $40 advertising each, we know that the conversion rate for 7, 8, and 12 outperformed everybody else by 20 to 30%. So that's great. Those are the three we're now going to double down and continue to use. We're going to sit down, we're going to do a cross analysis of all these images, try to figure out what was the benefiting factors, what was the visual identifiers that got people to go, hey, this is a product that I want to use. This is a product that is absolutely for me. And you also have to take into fact that it might not just be the image. It also might be, hey, Facebook, you know, I told, you know, four different marketing groups or four different groups of individuals to reach with my ads. You know, I thought my product was really going to be for group A and group, you know, D, but what I found out is group B, you know, absolutely loves this. I didn't think this was a females, you know, 30 to 45, we're going to love my product, but that's who's buying it. Maybe I should conduct an interview with a few people that actually bought the product and ask them why they did it. I mean, doing A/B testing is great at very face value, but if you're not doing further research into why your product or your advertising is converting, then you might as well just be taking shots in the dark, right?
Yeah, no, that makes absolute sense. And I never really thought about it in that sense. Like, understanding why there's the difference is probably just as important as, if not more important than, just being able to see that difference. And I asked about the images specifically because, as a podcast creator, that's one thing which we rely on more than anything. I mean, you can put out videos, some podcast hosts do that, but when it comes to designing graphics or images to promote on social media, that's definitely resonates with me the most. But
let me ask you this. How many different versions of your thumbnail or your visual brand per podcast do you make before selecting?
We haven't actually tested in that sense. We recently changed the design for one of our graphics or our images, but that was based purely on the advice from the graphic designer. And I personally think it was better, and I think it was an improvement. But it's one of those things which, I suppose, without data, you can't really say specifically like whether it's better or not. So it's definitely an area that we should improve on in that sense. And like I said, it's a real slap on my wrist because this isn't something I've engaged in. Really speaking with you now is the first time I've personally engaged with it, A/B testing. And I suppose this is kind of a conversation to kick this off, for me to really like dip my toe in the water and speak with you about it. Because I'm new to this, so I'm definitely all ears. Which kind of
fun
for podcasts, I guess.
Before you package a podcast or a YouTube video or, you know, anything of that sort, what kind of research do you do before you, you know, make your product?
Before, like, we choose the episode or topics?
Yeah. Like, do you ever go, hey, how am I going to package this up? Like, when you came to me about this episode, you had a very specific idea, right? Mm-hmm. A/B testing. You asked a social media futurist, which is, I think, probably overkill for what this question is. But when you got to the ideation portion of creating this particular episode, did you go, you know, I wonder what other people are doing as far as A/B testing and asking those questions. What sort of imagery are they actively using? Anytime I decide on creating a YouTube video for any reason, I always think about how am I going to package it? And then I do a little bit of pre-research before the A/B testing segment, which is I will go onto YouTube. I will type the exact name of the video I want to produce. And I will get just a ton of results. I always do this incognito. So it's unfiltered for, you know, my particular preferences. But what I tend to get is, hey, if I'm talking about food, I'm going to get a whole bunch of really nice, you know, food images that are just like the meat is succulent, everything is toasted perfectly, you know, and then how does this stack up to the sandwich I made? Maybe I need to go find a stock photo that matches the ones that are actually converting, because if they're the ones that are popping up, then the algorithm has decided already that these are the sort of images that have high click-through rates, right? Especially if those videos are like a year old.
Yeah, that's definitely a good process. I have to admit that this is, this podcast is the product of a team effort. So the actual idea for this episode came from a teammate of mine, because we have themes or content themes each month for what the content team produces. So this came as a result of our theme being A/B testing. And I wanted to include yourself because I thought that it would be a really interesting perspective, A/B testing in social media. So admittedly, no, I hadn't like searched for that and I hadn't looked for that. It was more something which was driven by just by interest and passion, I suppose, and seeing opportunity. But I definitely see the value in doing that. Have you ever, like, how has that impacted your work? How, like, obviously you mentioned like the sandwich example, but do you have any like real life examples of how you've changed your approach or you've learned from doing this?
Really, I think a really good example for me is probably when we did the Sonic the Hedgehog video.
Okay.
When I wanted to create, so I created this 360 animated short film of Sonic the Hedgehog basically running through Green Hills, level one from the old Sega console.
Yep.
And it's a one-to-one remake of the original level. Some of the bad guys are, you know, different or upgraded. And it's basically a several month process to produce one of these videos. So when it's time to take it to market or time to publish, you definitely want to have all your research done. You want to have a good idea right off the bat of, hey, what's probably going to convert, because I might not have the benefit of A/B testing right away, because it's, once it's out there, it's out there. And not all videos are lucky enough to have the opportunity to A/B test properly. So I, of course, went, hey, what is Sonic the Hedgehog, right? What is a 3D version of Sonic the Hedgehog look like? And when you do that search, you'll see it's a frontward facing view. He's always in run mode, and then the world behind him. And whether or not Tails is there is completely up to you, right? There's certain color palettes you want to hit. There's certain VFX tones you want to hit, such as, you know, the lightning. And so when I got to the point of, all right, what does the thumbnail look like for this? I had a Sonic the Hedgehog model built, and, you know, I spent maybe 2.5-3 hours just posing him to match almost like the movie poster, because the movie was coming out. And I went, hey, I know that this multi-million dollar budgeted movie did their research. I know that they probably spent $40,000-$60,000 on just market testing for the poster alone. So I know there's credibility behind the way that it was built, behind the way that it looks. And if I can capture some kind of essence of that and make it look like it's almost from the same movie, I know it's going to convert. And right now the video is sitting at over 25,000 views, which is more than our entire subscriber base alone. So That's great. I know that in itself is it's a success. It's evergreen content, so it's always going to be growing. It'll never stop. And it's now one of the main focuses of my much larger block of library content on my YouTube channel for the studio.
Awesome. What made you choose that? Are you a big Sonic the Hedgehog fan?
I'm a fan of taking retro video games and converting them into 360 animated films, because it's something so old converted with something so new that 99.9% of people can't replicate what I do. I think that's really where we're shining as far as creating video content.
I think that's great. I think that's something that people can really relate to as well, because everyone has these kind of games. Well, not everyone, but majority of people who have a decent childhood enjoy these games, because I mean, that's like some of your best memories are from these games. At least I'm obviously speaking from my own perspective.
I think that's great. I didn't get a chance to play. I wasn't allowed to play video games until I was 18. Damn. So part of me is like, oh, it's me making up for this childhood that I missed out on. Oh, sorry, Mom, I didn't become a doctor like you and Dad and my 50% of my siblings.
This is what happens when you don't let your kids play video games. They go all the way to the other end of the spectrum.
They become YouTubers.
If you're interested in seeing how Publicize can grow your startup, sign up for a free PR assessment on our website. And for a limited time only, exclusively for the Loudspeaker listeners, you can receive an SEO assessment as part of your package for any tier of service at no extra charge with this special promotion. To find out more, visit publicize.co/lspromo.
I think that's really cool. Do you have any other games coming out by any chance? Like, are you working on anything?
We just finished up a 360 version of Flappy Bird.
Oh, cool.
That came out. We did probably our biggest hit is the 360 Super Mario video that we did. Did you ever see Rocket Jump's first person Super Mario?
No.
Okay. So somebody made a 3D version of Super Mario. Rocket Jump remade that video and that went viral. And I was like, yeah, it's 3D, but 360 video didn't exist when they made it. So I'm going to take that same video that they converted from somebody else, mind you, and I'm going to create my own version from scratch and release it. And now it has over 10 million views, I think.
Nice. Wow.
It's approaching 10 million views.
That's cool. Great work.
And in terms of like marketing, I think it's part of the Ford quadrant method. Have you heard of this?
I haven't. Enlightened me.
Okay. So in YouTube, if you want viral content, one, viral content is impossible to predict. You have just as good as odds of getting hit by lightning, right? But there are certain things that you can do to tip things in your favor. And there's two real methodologies that I subscribe to. Mm-hmm. There's the four quadrant method. And then there's the Harman's Brother method. The four quadrant method is, one, is there a fandom related? Is there already a base audience for this type of content? Mario, absolutely, right? Flagpole content, which is, hey, the Sonic the Hedgehog movie is coming out. You know, that's perfect timing to release a Sonic the Hedgehog video, right? Because there's already garnered interest in that subject, right? The third thing is quality. Like, do you have the skill set to properly create said product? Which I come from a motion design background. You know, I studied VFX and 3D modeling and things like that. So I clearly have the skill set to create something that most people can't create. Awesome. That's the quality. And then the last thing is marketing. Like, how are you actually taking the time to get your video out there? Are you looking up every Super Mario message board you can find on Reddit and sticking it in there because you know that's where the vetted audience would be? Or are you hitting up Kotaku and sending out press releases about these, you know, things that took you 6, 7, 8, 9 months to make, right? Yeah. And then the Harmon Brother method is, it's basically taking comedy writing towards a very serious product. And their most notable example of them, you know, being the Harmon Brothers is the, do you ever see the Squatty Potty commercial?
I've heard of that name. For some reason that rings a bell, but no, I haven't seen it.
Okay. So it's basically the stool that helps you poop, right? And, you know, they went to Shark Tank and, you know, they were doing, you know, $2 million a year in business, you know, selling this health product. But then they hired this viral marketing team, or this team that continuously puts out content that tends to go viral. And basically what they did was they hired a prince, a spokesperson. They hired an actor to be a prince. So, you know, very charming, you know, royal accent. And then they had a unicorn that was pooping ice cream and they were giving it to children. And it's such a weird concept that you can't help to watch and then yeah. or share to friends, right? And when you have this kind of community built, this overwhelming positivity and community built around this idea, like, oh, did you see that Squatty Potty commercial? That's hilarious. You know, it's such a simple product, but it's delivered in such a way that it wants people to convert. It's it's almost like, I know I bought one, right? So I know that it works, and I'm here talking about it to you. So clearly their, you know, methodology works.
They're doing something right. Yeah, for sure. Oh man, that's a great example. I need to check that out because I don't think I've seen that. And I'm struggling to even like imagine what that would look like. Yeah.
They do have a book that I recommend, From Poop to Gold.
It's a great name. I'll have to look that up.
And it has the unicorn right on the front, I believe.
Good marketing. Okay. So I would love to take this opportunity as well. So this will be my last question, because I think that you'd probably want to go into detail perhaps. But if people do want to drive up their subscribers or gain a better or stronger social media presence and following, what would be your one piece of advice if you could like round it up into like one really kind of like a take home message? What would be your one piece of advice to anyone listening?
Don't look at the numbers.
Okay.
Absolutely don't look at the numbers. It will mess with you in a very negative way. So there's this thought process that if I have 1 million subscribers, you know, I'll be successful, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not true. Like, you can have 1 million subscribers and still get, you know, a couple hundred views every single video because nobody is actively watching your content. Mm-hmm. And you find this a lot with early YouTubers who blew up for, you know, they had like one or two viral videos and then they failed to continuously perform at such a high level, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the pressure of continuously putting out content, you know, gets to people and people burn out. That's part of being human. But if you have 1,000 dedicated fans, just 1,000 dedicated fans who are willing to spend $100 on your book or your merch or your, you know, conference, lecture, talk, course, you know, that's $100,000 and that's a good living. Mm. I mean, you don't have to be David Dobrik. You don't have to be, you know, iJustine. You don't have to be, you know, PewDiePie to be successful. All you have to do is have a dedicated audience that you care about, that you want to grow with, and you want to add either true entertainment or true value with, or, you know, to help them grow. And once they get to the point where they're like, hey, I am completely entertained, that it helped me with my depression, or I found so much value in this YouTube channel that I feel like I'm an expert on a particular subject. I can talk to other people who are subject leaders of this particular topic. And I can, you know, kind of hold my own because I found such value in this video series. And that's why I'm going to tell other people about it and become a micro influencer in my own right for this other brand that I take care of, that I am part of a community for.
That's a really nice answer. And I suppose it makes sense. Obviously, when I asked that, I was kind of going in with the perspective of like just thinking very kind of numerically, like followers, subscribers. That's exactly how I positioned the question, thinking of focusing on that. But you're absolutely right. And it is that value which is at the key, or is it at the center of it. And if you deliver that value, then the rest will follow. And I've heard that being mentioned, the 1,000 true hardcore fans by Tim Ferriss before. He's a very strong advocate for that. And yeah, I think there's a lot of truth in that. And I think that's really nice. Like exactly like you said, I think receiving a comment saying like, hey, you helped me with my depression, or you helped educate me in this kind of sense, and knowing that you've had a real impact in someone's life, it's probably better than getting like 1,000 or 1,000,000 or whatever hits on a video or something, because you know you've actually made a real impact rather than just like, I don't know, just some views.
Empty views, right?
Yeah, definitely. Excellent. Eugene, those are my questions for now. If people want to keep up with you and what you're doing, what social media channels can they find you on, and how can they find you?
So I have a YouTube channel called Studio Cap On, like you put a cap on your head. That's where we create all of our 360 animated films. I recently launched a vlog channel that's just sitting over 900 subscribers now. So it's very, very brand new. And it's just my name, Eugene Cap On, right? And if you want to send me a message, get in touch. The best way to do that is Twitter. And it's just twitter.com/capondesign.
Awesome. Excellent. Thank you so much for joining me today, Eugene.
It was my pleasure, Samuel.